It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so we're off and running for this 11th day of August 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that's also, of course, where we keep the chat room tucked away for those who wish to augment their listening experience with a merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours each day that this program is live, being from 5 to 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in the middle, and the great globe around. Hi, I'm Bob, and if you pop into the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Roger and Squeaky and Timo, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, takes the months without R's off in them so as not to fold space into the heart of the sun. Yeah. It's a great time. If you've never checked it out, you really, really should. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different because you are the people who keep this program on the air. No, as noted last night, you know, no vacuum cleaners picking up bowling balls or any other such silly shit. No, not in the least. So, thanks very kindly to our 11th day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Cecilia. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you to our pal, Brother Deacon Gerald. Thanks to John. Thanks to Chris. And thanks to Tony in Chico. Thank you all most kindly. We find ourselves in the second day of the second week of the month of August 2011, facing a $395 fundraising goal. And hopefully we will take some of that out because there are bills awaiting payment. I would dare say the people awaiting payment are waiting eagerly, if not somewhat petulantly. So the sooner we knock a big chunk out of that, that would be $195 for yesterday and $200 for today, just trying to keep up with the goal. The sooner we knock that out, the better off we are. That having been said, you know, of course, the PayPal interface is right there on the main page at HeadOn.live. If you want to do Patreon, well, that's over at under the Contribute tab at HeadOn.live. And this is going to be an interesting day's broadcast. It was one of those where I had all kinds of stuff lined up for Titanic Tuesday. And then Joe Biden stepped in about a half hour, 45 minutes ago, and changed everything. Because he finally announced his vice presidential running mate. And it's Kamala Harris, and I don't think anybody's too particularly shocked by that. I'm not disappointed, not at all disappointed, because it plays into a scenario that we sort of worked out a few months back, and that is, to wit, if they can win and she becomes vice president, that creates an empty seat in California's Senate delegation, and then maybe, if, you know, we got all activist and everything, maybe Governor Gavin Newsom of California would fill that empty seat by appointing, say, Representative Katie Porter to fill Kamala Harris's unexpired term. Based on her performance in the House, I can't help but think that that would be a fantastic move. So, now, I had a note from Kyle a few minutes ago who said, I don't love Kamala, but thank goodness he didn't pick Susan Rice, because I couldn't take three more months of Benghazi. I know the feeling. And I'm hoping, Kamala Harris has shown herself to be a fighter in the Senate, and I'm hoping that she will punish Nitwit Nero righteously the first time he has her name in his mouth, and that he will learn to fear even having to say it. You know, Shakespeare said, a coward dies a thousand deaths, and we've analyzed to a certain extent what that means during the course of this program. But hopefully he will be fearful of her, because, you know, he despises women. He especially despises women of color. And with any luck at all, she will pitbull him and dog him until he is afraid to even so much as open his mouth. So, there you go. So I understand what Kyle was saying. Oh, hey, program note. I tweeted it and put it up on Facebook. Podbean screwed up the upload last night. I was planning on trying to re-upload it this afternoon, but then I wound up having to reinstall the streaming software because, for some reason or another, Windows 10 forgot it all again. Must have been an update went through last night or something, but it is really pissing me off, this thing that's been happening. Oh, well. But Flavio says, Katie Porter would be an awesome senator. I saw your tweet and I totally agree. Well, thank you, Flavio. I mean, it makes sense. Flavio continues and said, I'm so relieved it's Kamala Harris. She's not afraid of Trump or Pence. She's not rhetorically challenged. Cat never got her tongue. Rice and Harris would have been a... Wait, which Harris? Rice would have been a disaster, given their baggage. Megan says, I'm ecstatic. I'm loving that he picked Kamala. When's the Veep debate? I'm getting a girl Woody in anticipation of watching that beatdown. Now there's things that have to be taken into account about a vice presidential debate. You usually only get one. And, you know, Mother doesn't allow Mikey to be alone anywhere with a woman who's not Mother. And he'll be alone on that stage with her. And that might violate their good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian principles. But, yeah, I got a pretty good idea she'd mop the floor with Mikey. I don't think that's really a it's not much of a benchmark. because Mike Pence isn't much of an intellect, but nonetheless, it should be enjoyable if Mother allows him to debate. The scary thing about Kamala Harris for VP, Tom in sunny San Rafael adds in, is our stupid jungle primary in California. It's entirely possible that if many Dems decide they'd make a great senator, we could end up with a pig-licking senator. That possibility always exists. But wouldn't some portion of her unexpired term be filled by an appointment? And wouldn't that appointment then allow the person appointed to shine and make it clear that they should be the person? I would think that something like that would be on the books, because a state the size of California doesn't need to just leave a seat empty until an election can be had. David in South Carolina, Stan tells us the vice presidential debate is set for October 7th. First hateful name from Donald Trump is Kamala Phony. Oh, well, that didn't take long. All right, well, you know, if he throws the first punch, then it's okay if she walks up and kicks him in the nuts. I mean, if they're still there. He's been on that one medication so long, they may be the size of grits. Leah New York says, oh, Bob, for the vice presidential debate, it'll either be over Zoom or the moderator will be in the room. Mother, otherwise known as Karen Pence, will not have to act like a Karen for the debate. And, you know, I really do think that Karen Pence is why the moniker Karen took off. Because she's so greasily supercilious. She's so, I want to see the manager. You know, the fact that she worked in a hate, that she taught art in a hate school. You know, the private school somewhere near D.C. where they proudly hate to gaze. Brother Deacon Asa says, Kamala Harris, I just found this out from you, and I can hear the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrols screeching and caterwauling even as we speak. Oh, yeah. Steve in New York was early to that. Subject line, but she's a cop. If I see or hear someone say this about our next vice president, I'm going to not just retch, but retch all over them. I don't give two shits. When the house is burning, you don't complain about the brand of bucket. Oh, but they do, because that's all they got. That's who they are. They can't govern. All they can do is whine and complain and virtue signal their ideological purity. I have no worries whatsoever about Kamala Harris's ability to handle all comers in terms of attacks from the right wing, the white wing, the maggots, all that. I have no worries whatsoever. But like Steve, it is going to piss me off to see her being attacked from our side. But I gotta moderate that. Because all that means is that they neither know how to nor desire to win. Amy Vanderpool tweeted earlier, want to know how scared Donald Trump is of Biden's pick of Kamala Harris? He's already tweeting a propaganda video to trash her. I'm sure they had that waiting. I'm sure there's another one there that was Karen Bass, and there's another one there that was Val Demings, and there's another one there that was Elizabeth Warren, and there's another one there that was even Amy Klobuchar. And at this point in time, I'm just grateful for the fact that Joe didn't revert to type and choose someone he desperately wanted from his comfort zone, either Susan Rice or Amy Klobuchar. Because that was always a possibility. Instead, this is easily understood as, it's easily understood as designed to create a media talking point. It's designed to make work easier for the millionaires who get in front of cameras and say things that we really wouldn't be willing to pay 29 cents for, or even less than half the cost of a stick of gum, I guess. But the narrative will be Joe Biden. Mark, see if I'm wrong, okay? Tell me if I'm wrong. Watch the Filthy Morning Habit and some of the other programs and see if it doesn't come out this way. See if it's not described. Obviously, Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris in the classic tradition of the team of rivals, as discussed by Doris Kearns Goodwin in her book of the same name about the Lincoln administration. Joe Biden is not afraid to have someone on his ticket with whom he might occasionally disagree. In fact, that's the same operating philosophy utilized by Barack Obama when he chose Joe Biden in 2008, and in fact, John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Baines Johnson despised each other, but still, Kennedy reached out to Johnson because he wanted to carry the South. And he did, and he became president that way. All the way back to Lincoln. And so, I expect we'll hear a lot of that. Because it's convenient. It keeps the multimillionaires of the for-profit media from actually having to work that much. There was no, as Timo points out in the chat room, it's not like California's in danger of voting for Trump. No, she was not selected to help carry California. I think it was more in the way of a negative realization that none of the other potential nominees would really, I mean, let's just, Stacey Abrams was probably not going to be able to deliver Georgia insofar as that is a state that is gerrymandered within an inch of its life and in which voter suppression is not the exception, but the rule. Let's grab another name of an African-American legislator out of the hat. Terry Sewell would not deliver Alabama. The reanimated, resurrected body of Martin Luther King Jr. could not deliver Alabama on a Democratic ticket. Okay? One of the things that I do respect out of this choice is that at 55, Kamala Harris is in a slightly reduced risk group for being felled by the Rona. She is in a risk group, but she does represent and speak for a group of people who have paid the heaviest prices. For this disease that is made ever so much worse by the inherent racism and white supremacy and fascism of Donald Trump, the African American community. It's hard to see where there was a whole lot of controversy over not choosing her. Exactly. Stephen New York says the Joe Biden Jesus Christ ticket wouldn't carry Alabama for the Democrats. Precisely my point. So, Elizabeth Warren would not have been necessary to carry Massachusetts. Plus, she's up in that septuagenarian category And frankly, you've got to take the Rona. The Rona is in this election. It's plain and simple. Sparky letting me know there's a shit show scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It might be worth tuning in just to see if he can, if Clorox Claudius can manage to not lose his shit on TV. He's scared of her. And he's scared of her because he probably is well aware the degree to which she has exposed his toadies and flunkies, boot blacks and lick spittles, during her tenure in the Senate. Stephen New York asking a somewhat rhetorical question, but not entirely. Not to put too fine a point on it, but can we please stop acting out of fear and what-ifs about worst-case scenarios? Well, there are some worst-case scenarios you can't avoid, Steve. And I'm in favor of this choice, specifically because he did not choose another septuagenarian. This is my generation getting a say-so. And I appreciate that. Joe Biden is still 78 years old. And so mortality and actuarial tables being what they are, if we can elect him, and that remains a big if we can elect him, he will still be at risk of dying in office as the oldest person ever to take the oath of the presidency in the history of this republic. That's not ageism. That's fucking math. And the older one gets, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and nearer to death. Now, that's not negativity. That's just the reality of the human lifespan. And so I think there are a number of things to recommend her nomination. And even if Joe Biden should happen to serve two terms as president, that means that Kamala Harris could run for her own term in office and still be only 64, maybe 65. That has a lot behind it. A tweet that David in South Carolina Stan just sent along. Seth Abramson pointing out, Donald Trump donated thousands and thousands of dollars to Kamala Harris in 2013, and his daughter Ivanka donated $2,000 to her in 2014. Donations make inevitable Trump family criticisms of Harris's political career borderline laughable. And then in 2011, Trump gave her another $6,000 personally. Flavio points out, Kamala is 1 year older than I am, 55, and she is in infinitely better shape, not being a smoker, working out and all. Yeah. She brings that California health ethic vibe with her, and that's a good thing. Lee in New York pointing out, Bob, TV's overpaid cue card reader cannot tell the difference between Kamala Harris and Jonathan Harris. Oh, the pain, the pain. Jonathan Harris was lost in space. The tweeting twit is lost in a room with one door and no furniture. I can't get to the cowbell fast enough for that. Meanwhile, sparkle fart piss ants, shut the hell up. Right now, we need to get Trump and his minions out of office, so I'm putting the sparkle farts on notice. A lot of sparkle farts are just right-wing trolls dressing up like progressives. We need to call these pieces of shit out. Losing is not a virtue. It's an excuse for not fighting. I see enough of these right-wing asshats here out the window of the blind. And I'm going to tell the boys down to the workshop, Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium, remember? Down there at the workshop to build more crosses, because I will personally crucify the next sparkle fart that gets in my way. And signed, Dave in the blind, may fake baby Jesus help us all. Harris's, this may become a thing this evening, Harris's nitwit Nero can't tell the difference from Richard Harris. Oh dear, does this mean I have to queue up the Richard Harris version of MacArthur Park? Meanwhile, and this probably won't mollify, but I think it's important that it gets said. Bernie, quoted by MSNBC, says, "Congratulations to Kamala Harris, who will make history as our next vice president. She understands what it takes to stand up for working people, fight for health care for all, and take down the most corrupt administration in history. Let's get to work and win." Good for you, Bernie. Good for you. Steve pointing out, I've said this before, in life we never get all we want. Sometimes we have to take some of what we want and work to get the rest. Why the fuck do people think politics and governing is different? In politics, it's often about getting 50%, 60%, 70% of what we want, and having a person who will at least be open to hearing from you about the other 40, 50, or 30. The choice is none of what we want, and a person who won't give a shit to even listen to us, and a person who is some of what we want, but who will listen to us to persuade her on the other amount. Precisely, precisely, precisely. There's no point to going and protesting in front of the White House over fracking or bad water in Flint or mountaintop removal or pipelines, because they simply don't give a fuck. On our side, however, hopefully, they may be persuadable. Lee in New York pointing out, you know who the longest-lived president is? Jimmy Carter. But Trump could live to reach 200. Oh, I can't stop at that medical prognosis. No, he won't. No, but here's the thing. This is the Alex Jones portion of the program. Now that we have a nominee and a running mate, I think both Bernie and Kamala deserve whatever therapeutic plasma Nitwit Nero and Mike Pencilneck Geek are getting. As long as it's not the Russian vaccine. Because that was one of the things that was in the list today, the Russian vaccine. It's probably mostly vodka. Oh, that's just mean, Brother Deacon Asa. In a funny kind of way. Tim Kaine must be gently weeping into a towel somewhere right about now. Jesus. Why not me? We had a real thing. Just didn't seem we could put it all together. Now, oh, DJ Brain. Can't help it. Note coming in from Todd. Georgia gerrymandered to within an inch. Humor in sorrow and in fact. Well, I mean, it's true. But the larger point was that there were no, I don't think there were any realistic geographic considerations. I mean, hell, there weren't even any geographic considerations when Corona Caligula chose Mike Pencilneck Geek. Mike didn't need to deliver Indiana. Indiana was pure maggot through and through. Sorry, Dave. Wasn't even in play. No, he was brought on board because he had some congressional experience and some governing experience, and he could supposedly bring along the evangelicals and the people who get all hateful over how people love each other. You know, the Republican base. Exactly. Stephen New York says, I'd like to award Bernie a cowbell. What he said is what we need. I'm liking this unity we're seeing. Absolutely. You say it and I play it. And the Lincoln Project, Sparky lets me know. Lincoln Project is out with an ad. They apparently had one ready to go, too.
Our nation is hurting. More Americans have died in the last 3 months than ever before. The worst economy since the Great Depression. Anger and division. It's time for us to come together and remember who we are. Americans. Joe Biden is the president for this moment. A man tested by tragedy, proven in a crisis, a leader who acts through compassion and strength, not anger and weakness. Standing with him, Kamala Harris, a strong voice for a better America, daughter of immigrants, a passion for justice, a happy warrior in the battle for the soul of America. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is the America we believe in, where hard work means more than family wealth, where compassion and kindness are strengths, not weaknesses. This is the America of our better angels, the best of America. Strong, compassionate, determined. On November 3rd, a new beginning. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's time. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And no money changed hands in exchange for running that ad. Mm-mm, no. But that's nice. That was something just, that was an uplifting piece that was ready to go. Can we just celebrate this? Megan asks. Can we just take a moment to celebrate this? When Obama ran for president, he had to choose a white man in the ticket so he could win. Now Biden's running, the shoe's on the other foot. He had to choose a woman of color in order to have a winning chance. No, it doesn't end racism. Cops are still murdering people. But for now, COVID Caligula is pissing himself over this announcement, and after 4 years of having rage-induced acid reflux, this is a nice change. This is a signal moment in American history. It is not the first time that a woman has been a vice presidential running mate. It is the first time that a woman of color has. And I don't know how many people thought that Walter Mondale had a chance in 1984. But Geraldine Ferraro earned her place in history. And now it's time to take it to the next step. Stephen New York says, folks, the fact that the vice president does not really, the fact is the vice president doesn't really deliver anything. Well, I don't think the vice president delivers geographically. In this case, I think the vice president does deliver politically, because this is going to be a we already know this is a turnout battle. And while the maggots are all at their motorcycle rallies and throwing hissies over playing college football. Oh, Mike Pencil, that geek must have, you know, maybe if he would have kept his idiot mouth shut. But no. There he was tweeting, America needs college football. Yeah. Okay. Mike. These great athletes have worked all their lives to be able to play, and we've got to play college football. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor pointed that out and noted that her son, an incredibly talented young man, is a drummer. And his he literally ages out for drum corps. You can't be in drum corps anymore after you're 21 years old. And he's missed what should have been the apex of his drum corps career. But there aren't any tweets from Mike Pencilneck Geek out there about women's softball, about drum corps, about baseball, the golf team, basketball. No, Mike Pence says we got to play college football. And, you know, Indiana University there in Bloomington is a member of one of the oldest and most prestigious college football conferences in the country. Namely, the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, okay, so earlier in the week, or the MAC, the Mid-America Conference, which is a so-called mid-major, said, nope, we're not going to be playing football this year. And then the Big Ten said, yeah, we're not either. But they waited until Mike Pencilneck Geek had rammed his size 8 Buster Browns, both of them, down his throat. And then the Big Ten announced there would be no football. No word yet from the ACC. No word yet from the Big 12. No word yet from the SEC. One gets the idea that the SEC will play football if it kills every student in every SEC school. 'Cause Merca or something. Yeah, Steve agrees. I was just going to say that this will up the excitement and the turnout, Andy. I hope it does. I sincerely hope it does. Hey, says Scott in San Diego, if you think Trump is freaking out over Biden picking Harris, Trump's dead daddy Fred's embalmed penis is spinning in its grave.
Yeah.
That's a gross thing to be thinking about during the dinner hour, Scott. Can't thank you enough. Subject line, NCAA, or as the folks on Fox once referred to it, the NAACP. NAACP champions, yes. NCAA, now they're considering spring football season. You know, it's entirely possible that there just ain't going to be any great big sporting events for a while. And the only great big events in general are going to be the ones hosted by super spreaders like the assholes in Sturgis or Sean Foyt. Because, frankly, the Rona does not give a good goddamn. Just like, the Lincoln Project has pointed out that there's other people who don't give a good goddamn. Come on, where'd you go? All right, we'll try it another way. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that has audio with it. But for some reason... Oh, I know what the reason is. The reason is, well... I'm a moron. There we go. Too many buttons. This is why big time radio hosts have staff. They know what channel the audio's on.
Very soon now, it's moving day for 25 million Americans. They'll be moving from their homes and apartments, from the places they've raised families and made memories. Not by choice, but because the Trump evictions are starting soon. The Trump foreclosures. He wrecked the economy.
With all of the trials and tribulations that we read about every night, much of it totally fake news.
And now heartlessly rejects even $600 a week to unemployed Americans.
So that people are going to want to go back to work as opposed to making so much money that they really don't have to.
The man in this house doesn't give a damn if you lose yours. On November 3rd, remember, it's America or Trump.
The man in the White House doesn't give a damn if you lose yours. These things are hard hitting. But it's sort of like fooling with a dangerous drug. I run these things, no money changes hands. And we analyze them when they get it right. But at the bottom line, you've got to consider the source. Because I remain convinced that if Biden can be elected, the Lincoln Project will be there riding his back the minute his hand comes off the Bible. And I saw, courtesy of our pal Sister Carol Baker, I saw proof of this earlier today. There's a Never Trump Republican out there by the name of Matt Lewis. And he has been at odds from time to time with some of the other Never Trumpers, because Matt Lewis thinks there's still something to recommend the Republican Party. He doesn't realize that it is entirely and completely a creature of Donald Trump now, and that Donald Trump is the symptom of a much larger disease. Well, Matt Lewis, a senior columnist and Never Trump Republican for the Daily Beast, the Daily Beast published something of his today. The headline reads, "Dems say sexist attacks are wrong. Someone tell Sarah Palin!" Exclamation point. And Matt Lewis writes, and he doesn't do sarcasm very well, "If I didn't know any better, I'd think the Democrats and women's groups and liberal elites in the media are a bunch of hypocrites. After all, their sexist attacks helped batter a young female rising star, deemed as an existential threat, and now they're warning that the same thing might actually happen to them? Don't get me wrong, pushing back against sexism is good. But it also strikes me as a bit self-serving coming from the party that has been less than chivalrous to women who got in the way of their liberal agenda." Let's check in here real quick. Sarah Palin, yeah, I hope we all remember, Sarah Palin opposed a woman's right to choose. Sarah Palin despised anyone who wasn't Sarah Palin, the classic Republicanism. Now, how is it sexist to point out something like that? No one made Sarah Palin announce when Katie Couric asked her which periodicals she read. No one made her answer, "All of them." No one forced Sarah Palin to become a walking parody of a human being. Talking about Mama Grizzlies there. And shooting wolves from helicopters. And whether or not she could, in fact, see Russia from anywhere. And talking about Tad and his soul snow machine. There's no sexism in any of that. But this never-Trump Republican? Oh, no. Right there, in that moment, in that piece. Rock-solid lead pipe cinch proof that we can never trust a never-Trumper. At best, they will be perhaps useful in this campaign, but they will work against everything that we think is necessary to make this country better. I saw a newspaper article, I think, from the L.A. Times a little bit before airtime, talking about the distinction between Joe Biden's idea on health care versus Kamala Harris's. And it said Biden favors an expansion of the Affordable Care Act, while including a public option, while Kamala Harris was more toward the Medicare for All side. Well, as someone with a dog in that hunt, let me point out that I don't care, and I'm sincere in this. I don't care if we call it Donnie Care or Barron Care or even Melanoma Care. As long as every American can go to the doctor and get needed medical treatment when they are sick and preventive treatment, well care, wellness care, when they ain't. I'm not gonna get tied up in a bunch of fucking language. I've said in the past, I only see one way to expand the Affordable Care Act, the Medicare expansion. Maybe that's something Joe Biden's got in his hip pocket. Raise the poverty threshold for expanded Medicare and have the federal government pay 100% of the cost of expansion. Forever. You know, one of the things that I found ironically, grimly, mordantly humorous out of Nitwit Nero declaring his executive actions over the weekend.
We're gonna give everybody who's on an unemployment $400 a week. And the states are going to have to chip in $100.
I guess nobody ever told him about the ruling that old dead-eyed John Roberts handed down some 8 years ago. Namely, that the big bad federal government can't force the states to take free money and then force the states to give up monies of their own. Because, see, if things worked like Nitwit Nero was saying over the weekend, we'd have the Medicaid expansion all throughout the country. Even in the Confederacy. And the fact of the matter is, we would still have people falling through the cracks like me. Oh, and I want to give a cowbell to everybody who said that yesterday's dramatic moment in the White House briefing room was a bunch of shit. 'Cause it was. Putting it on Twitter, the Secret Service said, "The Secret Service can confirm there has been an officer-involved shooting at 17th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue. Update: the investigation into a United States Secret Service officer involved in shooting is ongoing. A male subject and a U.S. Secret Service officer were both transported to a local hospital. At no time during this incident was the White House complex breached or were any protectees in danger. Well, here's the last little detail that they didn't make so much noise about. The person that the Secret Service gunned down was unarmed. Really. Not exactly a fair fight, was it? So, we're not getting a hell of a lot of detail, but it would be good to have it. What was he doing? Yelling fuck Trump so they decided to blow his brains out? Was this some friend of Bill Barr who decided to teach some citizen a lesson? I know where he's talking about, 17th in Pennsylvania. Hell, as the crow flies, that's probably the better part of a half a mile or more from the White House. But those brave, heroic members of the Secret Service shot an unarmed man down. Oh, well, probably had it coming, right? Jesus. Just, wow. And it is Titanic Tuesday. And we have manifestations of Titanic intellect. I think the Matt Lewis piece from Daily Beast certainly qualifies. Has he showed up for the shit show yet? No? No? Still late? Yeah, it appears they're still waiting. Oh, there he is.
Can't imagine why, but they didn't stand. They didn't show respect to our flag. They didn't show respect to our national anthem. And maybe that's having an impact, but just not good. The NFL had its problems 2 years ago when that happened. They went way down in their ratings and their fans.
Really? NFL?
And they struggled back, and now all of a sudden they're putting themselves in the same position. So stand for your flag and stand for the national anthem. And I think you're going to do fantastically well. Because a lot of people aren't going to watch if you don't. I'm one of them. That's why our strategy and attention are focused on preventing the cases that are most likely to require discussing the opening of schools, hospitalization, or produce any death. We have to maintain.
Wait, did we just jabberwocky our way right from the NFL to the virus?
I think more than any single event, Scott, we have to be very vigilant all over, but we have to really protect our elderly population, and especially our elderly population that has problems with heart, lung, any form of sickness, diabetes in particular. And we are at the same time in very good shape with respect to hospital room and hospital overcrowding. We're in great shape. On the nursing home front, protecting our nursing home residents is a critical focus of our strategy. HHS recently announced that they will use the Provider Relief Fund to deliver an additional $5 billion to further protect nursing homes and long-term care facilities as they continue to combat the China virus. We have delivered over 1,800 rapid point-of-care testing devices to nursing homes, and we are in the process of delivering these devices to all 15,000 Medicare and Medicaid-certified nursing homes by the end of September. So they're going to have very, very rapid tests. They won't have to wait around 2 or 3 days or 4 days, and that number has come down very substantially compared to what it was when you send it to the labs. You get very accurate tests, but it takes a period of time to send it, to check it, and then to send it back. But we are now at a position where we're sending very, very rapid tests, 5 minutes to 15 minutes. We will care for America's seniors as we develop the vaccine and therapeutics, and therapeutics are coming along very, very well. We think we have some great answers on therapeutics, and you'll be hearing that about them in the very near future. I'm very much into the world of therapeutics, where you go into the hospital and you give a shot, or you do what you have to do with it, perhaps transfusion.
That's 2 days in a row talking about transfusions. He's telegraphing.
Proceed in a successful in getting it, that will, I think, probably even precede vaccines. But therapeutically, we're doing very, very well. A lot of people are going to be very happy when they see some of the numbers that I'm seeing and some of the results. So tremendous things are happening on the vaccine front and the therapeutic front. And our country should be very proud of itself. We're going to get it delivered very rapidly as soon as it comes out.
Oh, you'll get a kick out of this. I just saw where the senior senator from Texas, that would be Senator John Cornholio, declared, GovTrack ranked Kamala Harris the number one most liberal senator for 2019. Huh. Gosh, I would have thought that was Elizabeth Warren. Well, she would have been if she'd been the vice presidential nominee. That's the thing. Ooh, questions.
I care. And we signed an executive offer, executive order. You know that, right? And we are not letting people be evicted.
With a suggestion. Please. Thank you, President Trump. If I could have two questions, I'd like to ask you one about Senator Harris's record and then a different one about FISA abuse.
Sure.
So regarding Senator Harris's record, you had a pretty quick response to that. You had an ad out that said that she was a phony. And I wanted to drill down.
She was a what?
A phony. And I wanted to ask about a specific example that a lot of people thought.
Because he didn't know he tweeted that.
As San Francisco DA, she oversaw, according to the Mercury News, 1,900 marijuana convictions. But she was asked in an interview last year if she had smoked marijuana, and she appeared to joke and, according to some people, lie and say that she was listening to Snoop Dogg and Tupac while their music hadn't come out at the time, while she said she was smoking.
Is this guy from Fox?
Why
or?
About that? Do you see that as
oh, man.
Is there past a marijuana liability?
Well, she lied. I mean, she said things that were untrue. She is a person that's told many, many stories that weren't true. She's very big into raising taxes. She wants to slash funds for our military at a level that nobody's can even believe. She is against fracking. She's against petroleum products. I mean, how do you do that and go into Pennsylvania or Ohio or Oklahoma or the great state of Texas? She's against fracking. Fracking's a big deal. She's in favor of socialized medicine, where you're going to lose your doctors, you're going to lose your plan. She wants to take your health care plans away from 180 million Americans.
Then again,
180 million Americans.
Then again, he's got a lawsuit going to take the Affordable Care Act away from everybody. So, you know.
Take that away. So she was my number one pick. I mean, she was, as they would say, because hopefully you'll start college football, she was my number one draft pick. And we'll see how she works out. She did very, very poorly in the primaries, as you know. She was expected to do well. And she ended up at right around 2% and spent a lot of money. She had a lot of things happening. And so I was a little surprised that he picked her. I've been watching her for a long time, and I was a little surprised. She was extraordinarily nasty to Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh then, now Justice Kavanaugh. She was nasty to a level that was just...
The word that always comes out when he's talking about a woman of color, nasty.
And I won't forget that soon. So she did very poorly in the primaries, and now she's chosen, so let's see how that...
He won't forget. He can't remember what he had for breakfast.
That hurt because she convicted so many people in the past?
I can't tell you what she's voting for. I don't think she knows what. I think Joe knows even less than she does. But I was a little surprised at the pick. A lot of people would say that might be the pick. I was more surprised than anything else because she did so poorly. Many people did much better than her in the primaries. She did very poorly in the primaries. And that's like a poll. You know, that's like a poll.
Can I also ask you about FISA abuse, President Trump? Yes, about FISA abuse. So now it's widely accepted among Republicans that there was FISA abuse.
Tremendous FISA abuse, yeah.
The Justice Department IG has found that with the Carter Page warrant application. But we were actually warned in 2013 that the surveillance court was allegedly a rubber stamp. It was approving surveillance. And I was wondering, I don't think, as President, you've commented on Edward Snowden, but do you think he should be allowed to return without going to prison?
Oh, Jesus, who is this clown? Anybody in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, can you identify this jackass? Edward Snowden, really?
Changing documents and putting documents in front of the FISA court and courts that are disgraceful that they could have done it. And the fact is, we caught Joe Biden, President Obama, the whole group. You can look at Brennan and Comey and Clapper, the whole group. We caught him spying on our campaign. This was an illegal act.
No, he didn't.
Like no other illegal act. This was treason. This was at the highest level of treason. And Obama and Biden got caught spying on my campaign, using intelligence agencies of the United States government to do it, both before and after the election. So before the election, then after I won, they continued. It's total illegal activity, and now we just have to see what's happening. But as far as Kamala is concerned, she's a big tax raiser. She's a big slasher of funds for our military, and she's got a lot of difficult things that she's going to have to explain. Plus, she was very, very nasty.
There it is.
One of the reasons that surprised me, she was probably nastier than even Pocahontas to Joe Biden. She was very disrespectful to Joe Biden, and it's hard to pick somebody that's that disrespectful when she said things during the debates, during the Democrat primary debates, that were horrible about Sleepy Joe, and I would think that he wouldn't have picked. OAN, please.
Wow, that wasn't Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. That must have been Fox. Jesus. Well, okay, here's our learning opportunity. He said plenty. Now it's time for Kamala to go to work.
And in spite of all that they've been through with the embarrassment of having a radical left group, Antifa and others, take over a big portion of the city of Seattle. We're talking about a big city, a major city. That they allowed that to happen is incredible. That it took so long to fix is incredible. The only reason they went in is because they knew we were going in the following day. And so they preceded us. They didn't want that to happen. They didn't want to be embarrassed. And the people just gave up. They were exhausted from having taken over a city for so long. The police commissioner seems like a very good woman. They were going to slash her salary by 40% or 50%. And they cut a tremendous amount off the police department, really, where people are saying it's not sustainable as a good police department. And again, those police are good also, but they're not allowed to do their job. So I think it's a shame. I hate to see her go because she did, in her own way, a very good job, but she wasn't effective in convincing the mayor and the city council to give the funds that were needed or just leave the funds the way they are. They've done a big defund, a big part of it. And it'll probably get worse before people realize this is a tragic era, before people start dying and getting hurt very badly. So I think Seattle's made it.
You mean like 160,000 deaths?
Has no clue as to what they're doing. They have no clue. And hopefully they'll be asking for help because we can solve their problem very, very quickly. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President, two quick questions. One on Senator Harris. Very simply, is she going to help former Vice President Biden's chances in November, or is she not hurt?
Well, I like Vice President Mike Pence much better. He is solid as a rock. He's been a fantastic vice president. He's done everything you can do. He's respected by every religious group, whether it's evangelical, whether it's any other group. They respect Mike Pence. He's been a great vice president, and I will take him over Kamala and the horrible way she, again, treated Justice Kavanaugh. That was a horrible event. I thought it was terrible for her. I thought it was terrible for our nation. I thought she was the meanest.
Oh, come on, son of a Klansman. Just say uppity and have done with it.
U.S. Senate. She's also known, from what I understand, as being just about the most liberal person in the U.S. Senate. And I would have thought that Biden would have tried to stay away from that a little bit because with what they're doing with open borders and sanctuary cities, where they're trying to protect sanctuary cities, which is also protecting a large number of criminals, with all of the things that they're doing, Second Amendment, they want to take away your Second Amendment or modify it to a point where it's essentially no longer the Second Amendment. I would have thought he would have gone a different way. Thank you very much, everybody.
Mr. President, Russia developed the vaccine today.
President, why did you donate to Kamala Harris then?
Oh, darn it. Why'd you donate to Kamala Harris then?
Well, she wasn't quite so nasty then.
Oh, Jesus. If they were caught, asks Ron and Raleigh. If they were caught, how come with the... Bill, Pepe the Frog, Barr, in the AG's office, none of them have been prosecuted. The mainstream press is just bullshit. Who was that little Jasper? I don't know. But there's always humor to be had. Brianna Joy Gray. Tweeted, we're in the midst of the largest protest movement in American history, the subject of which is excessive policing, and the Democratic Party chose a top cop and the author of the Joe Biden crime bill to save us from Trump. The contempt for the base is wow. Oh, God. Poor fool. Doesn't understand the house is on fire. She wants to complain about the brand of bucket. But then again, what do you want from a woman who proudly brayed about having cast her vote for Jill Stein? He's been watching her. Bob, can anybody contact the prosecutor? Stalking charges, maybe? As the palm tree pissant called someone else a liar, I'll defer to his expertise on the matter, but I still won't believe him. The fact that he admitted that he's been watching...
I've been watching Kamala Harris.
...for a while would creep me the fuck out. This orange turd doesn't even have the decency to be self... my apologies for the Horn community members that live in or near Flushing, New York. I'm worried my brother tried to tell me about how doctors were treating patients covered with chloroquine, and I told him to, okay, where the studies, he started to backpedal. We need to root this disease out. If he's been watching in that creepy Trumpian way, it might be a sexual offense in D.C. if he can be prosecuted. He'd have to move out of the White House. It's a national park. Signed, your buddy Dave, in the blind. Lee in New York, Mike Pence is respected by all religions. Muslims love him. Just asking for a friend? I know. Lee also pointing out, tax raiser? Easy choice. Harris, tax raiser, Trump, tax dodger. You pick. But the conundrums they're already twisting themselves into present themselves as David in South Carolina, Stan pointed out, she's a cop and a far-left radical simultaneously? That's going to be a neat trick. Yeah, maybe it's on a odd-numbered days or something. Therapeutic, asks Suman in Arizona. Is therapeutic the word of the day? What do you want to bet the orange asswipe Donnie is getting kickbacks from pharmaceutical companies? I think that's possible. But if you say to him, now, Mr. President, we've got to put this IV in the back of your hand here because we're giving you therapeutic plasma. Ah. Then it attaches to him. It means something to him. It's not just something that's theoretical.
Therapeutic?
No, sir. Therapeutic.
Therapeutic?
No, sir. Therapeutic.
Are you putting pubics in my arm?
Yeah. Megan says, as a practicing neo-pagan witch, I've never once heard the pagan community express their love for Mike Pence. Well, I mean, y'all don't care. He meant good white Christian religions, Megan, okay? Are you gonna tell me the Hindu community is gonna like Mike Pence better than Kamala Harris? Jains? The aforementioned Muslims? Am I to understand that the Roman Catholic community likes an evangelical Christian who thinks that they're a bunch of mackerel-snapping Mary worshippers better than they like Joe Biden? And Kamala Harris? That's a lot of sorting to do. David in South Carolina, Stan pointing out, the voting system hacks are in place, so this is why he panicked about mail-in ballots. Via a new Monmouth poll, also probably causing a freak out. 2020 election by gender via Monmouth. Thanks, David. 51% Trump, 39% Biden. Men. 51% Trump, 39% Biden. Women. 61% Biden, 32% Trump. What in the hell is wrong with my gender? Oh, and going back to the question of a Western state vice president. Walker says, no, California won't be a signal addition to the Democratic vote, but a Westerner on the ticket might swing Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, or even Montana. We need a Westerner to articulate that the greatness of America is in its public lands, which should be valued for the freedom it gives to wanderers and wildlife, not oil, gas, and timber extraction. I don't know if Kamala has this message in her repertoire, but I sure hope so. Me too. And just once, you know, because we've done that in the past here. It would be nice to offer, you know, you just take a clear bottle of water. Shh, it's a trick. And you say, I have here a bottle of fracking water. Want to drink it? And Nitwit Nero would run from that bottle of water.
I didn't say it was safe.
And Elbert in Rhode Island, following up on the guy who got shot in D.C. yesterday by the Secret Service. According to USA Today, the guy who got shot in D.C. was not seriously wounded. You know, there's a line there. Shot and not shot. And no matter how heroically someone says, it's only a flesh wound, or it's just a scratch, you still got shot. I mean, if you're a member of the military and you're in combat and it zings by and it just grazes the meat of your shoulder, you still get the Purple Heart. Oh, and interesting, as Nitwit Nero wandered away from the podium, there's some little fake columns there to either side of the staging area there in the Brady press room. As he galumphed toward the door, he steadied himself by grabbing that column. Not saying. You know, just saying. Well, that's rich, Darlene in Connecticut writes. Trump is a liar as a rule. Trump is nasty as a rule. Trump is mean as a rule. Trump is disrespectful as a rule. Trump is into raising taxes as a rule, because how else are we going to pay for his $1 trillion tax cut for the uber wealthy? The Trump campaign spied on Hillary Clinton's campaign, stealing her and the DNC's emails via the Russians and WikiLeaks. Okay, I can't take this anymore. Full disclosure, I'm not a fan of Kamala, so sorry, Horn listeners and Bob, but I'm not jumping for joy over the choice, so go ahead and accuse me of being a unicorn, sparkle, fart, purity, greater, but nothing could be further from the truth. I wanted Val Demings from the get-go, but yeah, there were far worse choices Joe could have made. So that stated, I'm voting for Biden-Harris. See, that right there, Darlene, proves you are not a member of the sparkle, fart-propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol. Because you're going, with your vote, you are going to behave as a political adult in a system that's first past the post and offers absolutely nothing to anybody who comes in second or third. There are issues, there is still one particular issue that I think is dangerous to Kamala Harris. And I hope she doesn't get beaten over the head with it. But she does. She does fill a lot of spots on a choice list. She brings her African American heritage. She brings her Asian heritage. She brings her status as female. She has campaigned and won in the largest state in the union, population-wise. And no one requires any jumping for joy, although there are people out there who are jumping for joy because there are people out there who supported her from jump. But this isn't about jumping for joy, I don't think. This is about being clear-eyed and sober and understanding the hard damn work that's involved to get us to the point where we can get that horrible thing out of 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza. And that's it. All of it. So, you know, don't beat yourself up, Darlene, and don't make assumptions about what you might or might not qualify as, when in fact you make it abundantly clear that you're not that. Darlene also sending along a Raw Story, citing to the LA Times. The LA Times reporter noting that a Democratic strategist named Rose Kapelinski told them there are so many factors that go into a decision like this for Gavin Newsom. Fundamentally, it's about his legacy. At this moment in time, there's going to be a lot of pressure to appoint a person of color. The dynamics may be somewhat different in November and December, but I don't think this national reckoning on racial justice is going away, nor should it. And then reels off a list of names that Gavin Newsom could conceivably choose to fill the unexpired term of Kamala Harris in the Senate. Karen Bass of Los Angeles, Barbara Lee of Oakland, Katie Porter of Irvine. But here again, and I recognize in my own right that I'm guilty of getting the cart before the horse. And that is, they have to win first before anyone ever gets to think about who would be her replacement in the Senate. Gotta win first. And I got a lot of respect for the idea of Katie Porter. Because she has demonstrated a profound degree of what I think is the kind of talent it takes to fill a seat that will be pretty hard to fill. Ah, wait a minute. Cowbell. Joey says, don't look now, Bob, but Biden just gained 20 points in the latest Harris poll with Kamala's choice for VP. Harris poll. I see what you did there. I had another note from Joey earlier, and this goes back to a conversation from yesterday's program. I listen to nearly all of Bob's shows on the horn, but rarely am I able to listen to the live broadcast because of work-related responsibilities. Ironically, yesterday, Richard, the elderly gentleman suffering from Parkinson's, for whom I'm a caregiver, had a dentist appointment, so Giraffe and I loaded Richard into Giraffe's SUV, and off we went to the periodontist for a 4 o'clock appointment. The appointment duration usually lasts about an hour, which really confounds Giraffe, as Giraffe cannot figure out why the dentist takes so long when the patient only has a couple of teeth. If Richard does not give the periodontist any difficulty, Giraffe and I will normally take him to a local restaurant following the appointment. It was hot as hell yesterday following the appointment, which ended a little after 5, and Giraffe and I were not in the mood for Olive Garden. We decided to hop the highway, Route 77. We headed north to Cleveland just as a half an hour from Akron was a great restaurant, which Richard just loves. Richard wondered where we were going and why we were going there, considering the heat. I told Richard that since Giraffe's SUV has air conditioning, unlike my 21-year-old Toyota Camry with 357,000 miles on it, we would celebrate Giraffe's new vehicle with a ride to Cleveland. We arrived, much to the pleasant surprise of Richard, at his favorite restaurant, Slimans, on the corner of Rockside and Cleveland Massillon Road in Independence, Ohio. Yes, Richard is of the Jewish persuasion, and he just adores Slimans corned beef sandwiches and a big bowl of matzo ball soup, where the matzo ball is one huge ball in a bowl. The irony of it all, literally, as Bob was mentioning my name to Scotty during the conversation of famous delis, Richard and I were actually dining at that deli, Slimans, as we were there from approximately 5:45 until almost 7 p.m. Bob mentioned Slimans Deli at approximately 6:35 on the show last night. Oh, and by the way, Richard has frequented Katz's Deli in Manhattan in the past, but he swears Slimans is the best deli in the States. Remember, Richard has visited Israel numerous times, so he knows from delis. However, Giraffe did nearly ruin dinner in the Central Time Zone, as at one point he managed to confuse Slimans Deli with the slime man in the White House. Giraffe proclaimed quite poetically in his best Shakespeare, Slimans Deli is king, this slime of a man in the White House is not, so off with him to another land. Yes, New Delhi would be grand. I mean, it rhymed and scanned and everything. I had no idea. I had no idea he was a poet. But then again, look at Giraffe's legs. They're long fellas. Ah. This has been Joey's Journal for Tuesday, the 11th day of August, with Giraffe waxing poetic. Wax on, wax off. Our Federal Public Lands, Mike in Cascadia, says, hey, Bob, shout out to the community member, Walker, that just spoke out in support of our 650 million acres of federal public land. The GOP national platform for the past few decades has called for the disposal of our federal public lands. Disposal means privatization. If you hike or hunt or climb or fish or dream of big roadless wild places or on and on and on, you should reject the GOP goal of that grand theft from us. Currently, the Senate is going to vote on William Pendley as director of the Bureau of Land Management. BLM manages tens of millions of acres of our federal public land. Pendley has been an outspoken proponent of federal public land privatization. So I don't want to hear any dissent against Biden and Harris. They'll put people in place that support and believe in federal public lands. We, the people of this country, should reject the GOP for their disdain of federal public land, and for that reason alone, vote Biden and Harris. That's the thing. There's and sometimes long memory is a curse. Because I can remember 2000. And I know he's a fetish object for a lot of people who like to call themselves progressives. But I remember when channeling George fucking Wallace, Ralph Nader said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Republican and a Democrat. He said that in the 2000 campaign. 20 painful years ago, with water that has gone over the dam since, that is toxic and tinged in blood. He said that. And nothing could have been further from the truth. From a million dead, innocent Iraqi civilians who might be alive to this day, to the countless valleys in Appalachia that have been filled in with coal, filth, and poison, to the pipelines and the fracking, to the brutality, to little children. Yes, there is a dime's worth of difference, a dollar's worth of difference, a Fort Knox worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And shame on anyone who would join up alongside George Wallace to say otherwise. So thank you for that, Mike in Cascadia. Thank you ever so kindly. Well, it looks like I've triggered somebody. Just got a note from Trey in Kentuckystan. The 2000 election. No, Bob, no! I understand. But if you have a memory, you cannot avoid it. And frankly, making arguments like that has a soft suppression effect on voters. You probably never thought of Ralph Nader as a vote suppressor, but that kind of shit does suppress votes. Why bother? They're all the same. That's why George Wallace, also a third-party candidate, was making the same goddamned argument in 1968. It just is what it is. So we're right at the halfway point of the program. And counting yesterday and today, we've got a $395 fundraising goal. It is a minimal amount when you consider what this program is and has been and hopes to be in the future. We talk about all the different ways to calculate what it means, like the fact that it's less than a half a stick of Wrigley's gum for a $10 a month subscriber, or how it's less than a half of a hamburger, no cheese even, at McDonald's. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, when people like Scott in San Diego say what he said last night, when people like Todd say what he said, when people chime in on Friday on the front porch to say what this program means to them, that's the best metric of the value of the program. I joke and carry on about the Gulf Stream and the hangar, and, you know, all kidding aside, I wish there was some way I could provide Agnes a hot tub, because it would go a long way in helping her, you know, with her immunosuppressed situation and provide some relief. But that's not in the cards. There are a lot of things we don't do here. So no one is living the life of Riley. We make payments on stuff. We keep the lights on so we can keep the program on. We keep the internet on so we can keep the program on. We try to keep both rain and snakes out of the house. We've been more effective on, lately at least, keeping the rain out of the house than... Well, we're just not going to talk about Sam the Studio Serpent. No. But we got $395 to go. And we ended the program that way last night. And, well, I hope it doesn't go up again tonight and we're not looking at another miracle on Friday. Because it would be nice just to pay some damn bills. Some more bills. Oh, and by the way, I was fretting last night. People who heard the pod, and let me make clear something here. When Podbean doesn't work, it doesn't mean I'm not here. Sometimes Podbean screws up for reasons I don't know, and Podbean screwed up last night. I uploaded it. I wrote out the show description, everything. And it said it went up, but it didn't. And on those occasions where you get a no-show, when Podbean does screw up, please, 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 please remember, you can always go over to whiterosesociety.org, click on my name, and get the very latest installment of the program. So, I posted that on social media earlier today. And, you know, I put it on Twitter, I put it on Facebook. It's hard to do anything more than that. But 99 times out of 100, if it doesn't post at Podbean, it will be at White Rose and vice versa. So that's... you know, just that little bit of a program note. If you would like to help out with fundraising, run on over to headon.live. The PayPal interface is right there. The Patreon interface is under the Contribute tab. And remember, with Patreon, all the contributions come out at the beginning of the month. And there's always the U.S. Postal Service, which most of the time delivers mail to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. So if you prefer that method, it works too. Cynthia says, I'm with you, Bob. In fact, I curse any so-called Democrat who refuses to vote for Biden. They'd stick us with Trump, and if Trump is still in the White House on January 21, then welcome to dear leader, as he will never leave until he dies, and then we will be ruled by Ivanka. Is that what these so-called Democrats want? No, by God, they want their progressive wonderland, and they want it right now. If you are familiar with the original Willy Wonka movie with Gene Wilder, they are Veruca Salt singing, "I want it now, Daddy. I want it now." Utterly oblivious of the processual nature of getting legislation passed. They think they can just wish it into being and not even really have to work that much for it, frankly. Oh, and it's infuriating. But it's also entirely predictable. Someday, maybe it won't be. Someday, we may actually educate people to the point that they understand how this system works until such time as we change it. Yes, you're absolutely right. Steve in New York says, that problem you're describing with Podbean sounds like a problem with the Knuten valve. It is a problem with the Knuten valve, and particularly the manner in which it interfaces with the flagellate via the Nexus with the oh boy driver. Mm-hmm. Yep. As to Kamala Harris, Flavio sends us something by Peter Beinart in The Atlantic today. As a black woman working in law enforcement, Harris didn't have the luxury of Sanders' ideological purity. Since Reconstruction, only 6 black candidates have been elected to the Senate. Tellingly, 2 have been Republicans. And none of the 4 Democrats, Carol Mosley Braun, Obama, Cory Booker, and Harris, have been a leftist firebrand. Perhaps the current wave of progressive activism will create national career paths for politicians of color with more radical views. If Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez runs statewide in New York, she'll become a fascinating test case. But those paths did not exist, not even in California, when Harris was taking the cautious stances on police violence for which she is now being blamed. Commentators judging her record should acknowledge the political constraints under which she labored. The fact that Harris didn't boldly confront police misconduct earlier in her career says less about her than about the country in which she lived. I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I would also add, and maybe he does in his article, the Senate changes people, or at least it was supposed to once upon a time. You might move over from the House to the Senate, and where the House was a rollicking place where a person could get shot on a bad look any time from 1820 to 1860. The Senate was supposed to be transformative, to be slightly more civilized, to be, well, there's that term, the greatest deliberative body in the world. Well, if we take our cue from the language of Brown versus Board of Education, you remember, all deliberate speed? The word deliberate means slow. And so when we see the reference to the Senate of the United States as being the world's greatest deliberative body, those of us who practice the art of word knowing realize that that means it's the slowest body on earth. It's molasses in January in northern Minnesota. Slow. The Senate is not designed for rapid action, and that is not an endorsement on my part of it. It is merely a reflection of what it is. It is designed to move slowly to preserve the power of the power class that created it in the first place. This would be a good time, any election year is, really, to commend to anyone who cares to take the time to read it a publication from the from the era of right at a little more than 100 years ago. By a man named Charles Beard. It is called An Economic Interpretation of the Constitution of the United States. Charles Beard wrote it in 1913, published it in 1913. And with a fine-tooth comb, went through the origins of the Constitution. And he came up with a shocking and, frankly, infuriating conclusion. Stating that the Constitution was written by an elite whose primary purpose was to protect their personal property. You know, remember, from a legal standpoint, there are two kinds of property. Well, three, but really two. Personal property, also known as personalty, and real property, also known as realty. Real property is easy. That's land and stuff on land, houses, businesses. Personalty, which also can take into account intellectual property. Well, in 1787, they weren't worrying a lot about intellectual property, let's put it that way. But there were a significant number of delegates to the Constitutional Convention who were deeply concerned about personal property in the form of human beings. And when Charles Beard published his Economic Interpretation of the Constitution of the United States, it set off a firestorm of reactionary protest, and they called Charles Beard everything but a human being. And claimed to have disproved his work by virtue of having largely engaged in ad hominem attacks against Mr. Beard. But they didn't. And by, the latter part of the 20th century, the people who get upset and excited about this kind of thing said, "Hey, we refuted him. We win. He was wrong. They was real nice people, them people what writ the Constitution." Only in more modern analysis, we find out that via statistical analysis, maybe Charles Beard was right all along. And so maybe all of those practices and institutions that they put in place were put in place to make sure that no one moved with any particular speed to upset the apple cart. Or, as the case may be, the slave wagon. but we still have to deal with it today. And just as was the case that when Hillary was being pilloried over the crime bill when she was running for president in 2016, still being referred to as the Joe Biden crime bill, no amount of facts would sway the people who were obsessed. And the fact of the matter is, that crime bill back in the 90s did have the support of significant numbers of the elders of the African American community. Because there was shit happening in neighborhoods that they didn't like and they didn't want. And so it is with the crowd that hollers Kamala is a cop. Jesus. That phrase is empty of anything in the way of meaning, save for what it says about the declarant. It means that the declarant lacks a fundamental understanding of what this rigged so-called criminal justice system is and what it does to anyone who enters into it. An attorney general does not get to make the law. An attorney general can issue interpretations of the law. But had... And the idea that somehow we're going to blame whoever that little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby was in the White House press room who brought up marijuana convictions should have his journalistic credentials probably removed, because there was nothing to be done until the legislature acted. Or until the people voted. Or until a court of competent jurisdiction, namely the Supreme Court, acted to change the law from the bench. And those are just facts. Not saying I like them. Or dislike them. That's like saying you like or dislike the carbon molecule. It's just a carbon molecule. It is neither hurt nor helped by some emotional response to it. One would hope. Not one would hope that people could realize that, but it ain't necessarily a guarantee. So, like I said, I had a bunch of stuff for the evening, and a lot of it went by the wayside when the announcement was made, because I knew we would have to talk about it. And thanks to Ralphs and Steve, we've got a couple of challenges on the table. Ralphs and Steve will each match the first $10 that come in. So if we can get $20 in from two different people, or $20 from one person, doesn't really matter, it'll turn into $40. And that'll take us from $3.95 down to $3.55. And Jeremy... Jeremy jumped in, so that's $3.50. And Labor Man, who's a big part of the, he's fully half of the Bruce's Memorial Challenge come the first of the month, has jumped in here in the 11th with a challenge of his own. Okay, comrades, dig deep to meet my challenge, please. Signed, Gary. So Gary will match the next $100 that comes in. And so taken together, that would be enough to wipe out yesterday and start on some of today. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very kindly. So there it is. It's available. Your 5 becomes 10, your 10 becomes 20. Because folks like Laborman and folks like Ralphs and Steve and our anonymous friend and Chris in Germany and Roger and others, Darlene in Connecticut and Tracy and folks who provide these matching challenges, it's not just a matter of, hey, I'm going to contribute this. They want to see other people participating in the community and in keeping the community going. So thank you, Laborman. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Steve. Steve with a note says, the sparkle fart, folks. The one word I use for them is selfish. To reiterate, nowhere in life do we get all we want when we want it without lots of blood, sweat, and tears. I don't care what system a country has, whether it's a parliamentary democracy, a constitutional republic, or a pure Athenian-style democracy. None of them operate on autopilot. They take work. They take persistence. They take effort. They take endurance. The more people who actually participate in any system, the less anybody will get what they want without work. It's the people who work the hardest and most persistently who become the best musicians, the best athletes, the best writers, or the best whatever. Never does a person become a great pianist when they get the piano they want. Never does a person become a great hockey goalie just because they have the best equipment. Nobody is instantly a good writer because they have the best paper and pens. Owning a Steinway does not make a person a great musician any more than the fact that I have a gym membership means I'm in good shape. I'm sorry, I know I keep harping on this, but I just find it so unbelievably selfish and, yes, privileged when people act like the Sparkle Fart Purity Brigade. Another Trump presidency means people die. A Biden presidency at the absolute, absolute zero bare minimum will give us a fighting chance. A puncher's chance. And that's all anyone can really ask for. And it's interesting to see Steve write those words because he's hearkening back to a Roman philosopher who said, as Steve just did, owning a horn does not make you a musician. And in fact, a Republican president, it's about the only thing he ever did that was worthwhile. A Republican president, Calvin Coolidge, a little less than 100 years ago, or somewhere along the way in his career, made one trenchant observation. Nothing can take the place of persistence. It's a profound statement, and it withstands scrutiny. Let me see if I can pull it up here, because it's got some length. There it is. It's a good one. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan "Press On" has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race. You can tell that Silent Cal was not a lot of fun to be around. He was taciturn at most. That's about the nicest thing you can say. And he didn't get to be president of the United States by virtue of persistence. He got to be president of the United States by virtue of the fact that Warren Gamaliel Harding, up until the arrival of people like Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George W. Bush, and George H.W. Bush, was the single most corrupt individual ever to occupy the White House. And Warren Gamaliel Harding woke up one morning all dead. And suddenly, even though he hadn't been very persistent about it, Calvin Coolidge found himself president of the United States of America. Howdy-do, and how about that? Nonetheless, it's still pretty good advice. And makes no small amount of sense. Persistence. And that's a question for the ages. David in South Carolina Stan says, Bernie, Flying Unicorn Brigade. If Bernie wholeheartedly endorsed Harris for VP, why is this not good enough for the Flying Unicorns? Because nothing, David, nothing is ever good enough for the sparkle fart propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol. Because the whole point is to be self-defeating. To come up with reasons why you're not winning, as opposed to actually trying to win. It's a carryover from the Greens, frankly. And it's a reflection of their pernicious effect on our politics. The Greens love to complain, but would be absolutely terrified if they ever actually won something. And that's disheartening to me because I share a lot of their philosophies. But I also like to win once in a while. They don't even want to take the field. Ron in Raleigh says this is how it shakes out. I'm not a fan of Ms. Harris. However, as a black man, I'm willing to forgive, not overlook, her transgressions, just like I'm willing to forgive Barack Obama's. Black folk cannot expect other black people that rise to national political prominence to be all that we want them to be. Those that hew to a single-minded pursuit of justice to the exclusion of all else will have a truncated career. Men like John Lewis and Ron Dellums could never rise above being able to represent their relatively small constituencies. I will vote for the Biden-Harris ticket knowing full well they will cause me to eat dirt and run rabbits because of things like Grandpa Joe's love of employer-provided health insurance, but he'll still be worlds better than the baboon occupying the White House. Yes! Also known as being a political adult. I dare say that I am probably more left radical than 99% of the left radicals in this country, but I also want to win. And so that keeps me from embarrassing myself with declarations of political purity on this program. I'm trying to learn as I age. Crazy, I know. But still. It makes sense, doesn't it? To try to get better at being a human being the longer you're on the planet. Right. And again, the system itself is designed to make sure that no real radicalism ever finds its way into power. And the only people who have been able to be radical are people who had enough insulation to allow them to be that way. Throughout most of our history, that radicalism has taken the form or that protection of radicalism has taken the form of wealth privilege. Teddy Roosevelt could talk about busting up the trusts and taking on corporate abuses in America because he was wealthy enough to do so. Cousin Franklin could do the same thing. Again, same last name, same wealth base. He could afford to call out the abusers because the abusers couldn't do anything about it. It was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's wealth that made him able to say, I welcome their hate. Because he didn't give a fuck. By that time, he's in a wheelchair. He's got polio. Or had polio. He's been damn near destroyed by it. He's learned a little bit about the value of wealth insofar as it can ameliorate some of the more miserable circumstances of his life after the disease, but some of it can't. And what it can't fix is the fact that he was a guy with polio confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he couldn't buy his way out of it. But he could have some creature comforts, you know, Warm Springs, Georgia. He could reach out to his fellow members of the wealth class and help to set up a circumstance whereby a little boy with polio named Addison McConnell could be brought to Warm Springs so that he might someday walk as FDR didn't. And Addison McConnell now, from his lofty perch in the Senate of the United States, shits like a cowbird on everyone who ever had as hard an upbringing or as tough a turn in life as he, Addison McConnell, did. Wealth matters. Wealth matters. But, trying to think of it. If you want to be truly radical in this country, if you want to try to change the shape and tenor of the nation as a true radical, you will never do it in government. Because our form of government despises sharp change that comes quickly. One of the most brilliant things that the framers did was to make revolution so goddamned hard. Because once they had established a government that worked for them, they wanted to make sure that nobody else could do to them what they did to what they had just done. Remember, James Madison ran a coup on the Articles of Confederacy. He gaveled a meeting down and then declared it was a constitutional convention, and well, the Articles of Confederacy were never heard from again. They had recognized the inherent flaws in the Articles of Confederacy. And they did not like what they were seeing out in the broader country, things like democracy breaking out all over the place. And so being smart men, they came up with something that was a little more foolproof, but still had just enough flaws in it and imperfections that after a little over 200 years, along would come a group of political vandals who could exploit each and every one of those faults. Which you might think was actually a disproof of what I've been arguing here, but it isn't. This country, this system of governance, will accept radical change as long as it is radical change in favor of the wealth class. It is radical distributive change that makes life better for working people that this country is so systemically opposed to tolerating. So hopefully that provides a little bit of context, a little bit of understanding. Thank you, Tim. And thank you, Roberto. The challenges for Ralphs and Steve have been met. And we are $15 into Labor Man's Challenge. So there's 85 bucks to go on that. So we've got about 54 minutes left in the program. Hopefully we can chase that down and mean that we've gotten to prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow without you know, having to yell up from the bottom of the hole that Timmy fell into. Rico, I don't know if you're listening live, but where's the Monday podcast, Bob? For now, until I can sort out the problem with Podbean, just go over to whiterosesociety.org/Kincaid.html, or just go to whiterosesociety.org, click on Kincaid, and yesterday's podcast is right there. So, hopefully that helps. This is not, I've never done an etiquette column or an etiquette program or Miss Manners or anything like that, but Silent R. Lamar would like a little help. Can you help me again, Bob? Would it be in bad taste if I sprayed the air after a sparkle fart unicorn entered the room? With what? Raid? That's the problem. Change for the wealth class. Steve asks, in what system is change for the wealth class not easy? None of them. And some harder than others. We know that we can have change. We've talked about that narrow window that opens periodically when you get a Democrat in the White House, a Democrat and a democratically controlled Senate and House with significant numbers. 1862, 1932, 1965, 64, up to 68. But those windows open and close almost like some sort of vicious trap in a video game, or like the chompers in Galaxy Quest. You got to have the code to get through them, or figure it out by being repeatedly squished. Cricketers unite. Suman in Arizona says, sparkle fart unicorns. I much rather like Robert's idea of carrying around a cricket bat with me and just smack the hell out of these. Yes. Cricket fans. What am I going to do with y'all? Silent R. Lamar, Steve has a suggestion. Do something COVID appropriate, Silent R. Spray rubbing alcohol. Yes, Silent R. Tanning the building with one of those red and white striped circus tents and just fumigating the whole building is out. Yeah. And meanwhile, because I get covered up in right-wing filth, someone, PR firms get your email address and then they buy the list from the, you know how it works. Republican National Committee Chairman Romney McDaniel, who refuses to use the word Romney, released the following statement on Joe Biden's radical vice presidential pick. A hiding, diminished, and incoherent Joe Biden. Has she listened to Donald Trump lately?
And you know, the flu pandemic of 1918 is probably what ended World War II.
But anyway, what were you saying about an incoherent Joe Biden there, Ronna Romney?
Didn't just select a vice presidential candidate. He chose the person who would actually be in charge the next 4 years if he's somehow able to win.
Oh, that's insulting.
Kamala Harris's extreme positions, from raising taxes to abolishing private health insurance to comparing law enforcement officials to the KKK, show that the left-wing mob is controlling Biden's candidacy, just like they would control him as president. These radical policies might be popular among liberals, but they are well outside the mainstream for most Americans, said RNC chairwoman Ronna Romney McDaniel, who by most Americans means white.
You see, Ronna Romney McDaniel's never met a black person. No, you thought I was going to say never met a black person she didn't like. No, she's just never met a black person. Extreme. Yeah, wait, this is one of those moments where the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol could be helpful. If we could deploy them every time a Ronna Romney accuses Kamala Harris of being a radical, they might be helpful. Just get them to do what they naturally do.
Kamala Harris is a radical lefty.
Kamala's a cop! That could work wonders.
What?
Because Emery and Marvelline, I've never heard that. Sitting there in their matching Barca loungers.
Yeah, what's that, Emery? Kamala is a cop? Well, don't we say Blue Lives Matter?
That's right, Marvelline, we do.
Well, maybe we should vote for that Joe Biden and that Kamala cop lady.
By Jove. I think I've stumbled onto something. Oh, wait a minute. They're already trying to deal with the question of why Donald Trump donated to Kamala Harris's campaigns. This will not play well. The Trump campaign, according to David in South Carolina, Stan says, Donald Trump's donation to Kamala proves he's not a racist. Realistically speaking, I think what it proves is that he was hoping his money would serve as some sort of influence for some sort of stupid, grifty, tacky, sleazy real estate deal he had in California. Oh, and this is a bit of a delight from the wonderful world of social media. There's been a bit of a spat going on between Robin Williams's daughter and Beavis and or Butthead, whichever one we're referring to as Eric. You know, a couple of days ago, Beavis and or Butthead posted a clip from a 2009 bit that Robin Williams did, poking fun at Joe Biden. 2009. Well, Zelda Williams, Robin's daughter, was having none of it. Because Eric Trump had tweeted, Robin Williams just savages Joe Biden. And, you know, it's not even particularly brilliant Robin Williams comedy. It's kind of harmless, you know. He's, you know, goofy. Robin Williams accuses Biden of rambling. Joe's like your uncle who's on a new drug and hasn't got the dosage right. Well, Zelda Williams said, while we're reminiscing to further your political agenda, you should look up what my dad said about your dad. I did. I promise you. It's much more savage. And yesterday was the 6th anniversary, and this is kind of what makes what Eric Trump did even sleazier, because of course Eric Trump is sleazy. Did you know there's a biker gang called Sons of Trump? I'm not kidding. It's got a picture of Donald Trump on the back, and I think there's eagles or something. But it seems to me like a picture that a group called Sons of Trump should probably have a picture of Beavis and Butthead and Boron. But you see, yesterday was the 6th anniversary of Robin Williams' extremely pained exit from this life. And so after she responded to Eric, she said today she's taking a break. It's hard for me, she said, on regular good days to remain the person expected to graciously accept the world's needs to share their memories of him and express their condolences for his loss. As I've said in the past, while I am constantly touched by all your boundless continued love for him, some days it can feel a bit like being seen as a roadside memorial, a place, not a person, where people drive past and leave their sentiments to then go about their days comforted that their love for them was witnessed. She said, but sometimes that leaves me emotionally buried under a pile of others' memories instead of my own. After all, even roses by the truckload still weigh a ton. That's Robin Williams' daughter. Tomorrow it is simply too much. In my stead, if you find yourself in crisis and seek out this page hoping to be close to him somehow, please use any of the following resources if you find you need them. Whoever out there needs to hear it, please use this as your signpost in the desert. Reach out, seek help, keep fighting. Because Zelda Williams is a decent human being. So she shared links. To crisis hotlines. Can you imagine any member of that filthy Trump gang ever doing anything half as decent? A hundredth as decent? It's not in them, because they themselves are indecent people. It's who they are. And it was in 2012, it was a brutal takedown. I'm trying to find the clip now. Ah, there it is. Here we go. In a second, that is. Because any time's a good time for a Robin Williams clip. And as opposed to noting that Joe Biden rambles a bit. Oh, no, this is something entirely different. This is eviscerating.
And Donald Trump is the Wizard of Oz. He is the guy. It's a man, he plays Monopoly with real buildings. This is a scary man. And he owns all these beauty pageants, Miss America, Miss Universe. Isn't that a bit like Michael Vick owning a series of pet stores? It's like... It's a catch and release program for him. This is a man who said, my daughter is hot. Even people in Arkansas went, that's f***ing wrong. That's just way out of place. And that's f***ing hair, my God. I believe the hair is the Donald. I believe that's it. I believe the body is a maintenance system for the hair. He goes home at night going, we're home. Hey, let's get out of here now. I'll f*** her, let's do this.
Yeah, like I said, a lot more biting than simply talking about, you know, rambling a bit. And now that, and that was 2012. We didn't know in 2012 what we know now. The Access Hollywood tape wasn't out yet. Robin Williams never heard the recorded voice of Donald Trump declaring, I just go up. I grab him by the pussy. You can do that when you're famous. Christ almighty, can you imagine what Donald Trump, what Robin Williams would have done to Donald Trump over that? Six years. 2014 was when he checked out. And making fun, comparing him to Michael Vick, it's a catch and release program. Robin Williams also didn't know back then. Peace be upon him for the prophet he apparently was. He didn't know that Trump would brag about skeeving into the dressing rooms of young women not even 20 years of age and ogling them in various states of undress. Didn't know about that. He didn't know about Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and Pedo Island and Donald Trump and Alan Pants on Dershowitz. Or wait a minute. Is this sort of like the jokes that weren't really jokes that people like Seth MacFarlane made calling out the sleazy behavior of Harvey Weinstein when it was all just an open secret in Hollywood that no one dared mention for fear of being ruined? Was it that way with Epstein? Because remember, well, I suspect there was an aspect of open secret about it, but my God, when you... I got a little relief the first time I watched the clip, and the reference wasn't to West Virginia or Kentucky. Sorry, Haley, but to Arkansas. Sorry, Reggie. No. That's fucked up. Poor Eric. Bringing a squirt gun to a cannon duel. What a schmuck. True enough, Randy in PA says, prophets don't fare well in this society. No. A prophet is never welcome in his own land. And speaking of life support systems for haircut, there's Sean Hannity. Biden-Harris is the most radical leftist ticket in history, according to Sean Hannity. Via David in South Carolina stand. Because, well, it's always worked before. Oh, let's see. Who's been the most radical leftist, radical liberal in the history of America under God, amen, since George Washington? That Jimmy Carter has. McGovern. Hubert Humphrey. Who was Hubert Humphrey? Really? Let's see. Most radical leftist liberal in the history of the country under God, amen. Hubert Humphrey, George McGovern, Jimmy Carter, Walter Mondale, Michael Dukakis, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, John Kerry, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and now Joe Biden. And Kamala Harris. You know, you'd think that if each one of those candidates had been that radical and that liberal, Biden and Harris probably would be dressed all in red, carrying hammers and sickles and singing the Internationale. Because, I mean, it's a procession. If they're more liberal than Hillary, and Hillary was more liberal than Barack, and Barack was more liberal than Kerry, and Kerry was more liberal than Al Gore, and Al Gore was more liberal than Bill, and Bill was more liberal than Dukakis, and Dukakis was more liberal than Mondale, and Mondale was more liberal than Carter, and Carter was more liberal than... You see the point? It doesn't withstand analysis. But we live in a country where the vast, if not a vast majority, an unfortunate plurality of people are incapable of engaging in that level of critical analysis. Randy in PA points out Henry Wallace under FDR, he had to go. Or, here, let's do a deep dive. How about Hannibal Hamlin? Vice President to Abraham Lincoln in his first term. Talk about a little pivot point in history. They convinced Lincoln in the 1864 election to ditch Hannibal Hamlin of Maine in favor of a racist, semi-literate, alcoholic Tennessean by the name of Andrew Johnson. Because he was going to help unify the South after the North finally won the war. That was the wisdom. That was the wisdom that turned out to be foolhardy self-delusion. What might this country have looked like if Abraham Lincoln had been replaced by Hannibal Hamlin and not by the aforementioned alcoholic, barely literate Tennessean, racist, slave owner? It might be considerably different. Steve in New York says, oh yeah, Emery and Marveline, if you don't vote for Biden, he'll hurt God. Your God Emperor has even said so.
He'll hurt the Bible. He'll hurt God. He'll hurt energy.
That was one of the things I found most fascinating out of that entire exchange, was that he equates the deity with dead dinosaur juice. I mean, I'm kind of accustomed to equating the deity with fermented grape juice, but really? The West Texas sweet crude? Oh, okay. Yeah, the cognitive dissonance is beginning to set in for Megan. The fuck? Well, is Kamala a cop or a left-wing radical against authority? Make up your minds, people. I got campaign t-shirts to make. because Joe wrote the crime bill and Kamala is a cop? That from David in South Carolina, Stan? Oh, God, I know. I know. Radical liberal? Asks Steve in New York. Okay, fine. We need to say Trump is so far right-wing they're as fascist as Hitler and Mussolini. You know, that's going to be kind of anticlimactic, Steve, because A, it's factual, and B, we've been saying it for the better part of 4 years. Well, says Megan, in the 2016 election, the state of New York didn't go for Donald Trump because it was an open secret that he laundered money for the Russians. Interesting, no? Interesting, da. До свидания, товарищ. Oh, let's see here. Look, we always need some, we need a little happy thing. And here's one of them. Apparently, folks on Twitter have realized another good thing about the choice of Kamala Harris. It's Maya Rudolph's time to shine when Saturday Night Live comes back. Because she did turn in a top-notch Kamala Harris, Maya Rudolph did. Ms. Rudolph, your country calls. We require your service. And a little bit of news coming out of Illinois via USA Today. Sparky sent this along. Headline, it's now a felony in Illinois to assault a retail worker who is enforcing face mask rules. Good. Good for Illinois for jumping out and getting in front of that. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law this past Friday that expands the definition of aggravated battery to include attacks against a retail worker who is conveying public health guidance, such as requiring patrons to wear face coverings or promoting social distancing. In a statement, Governor Pritzker said, it's clear there is still an even greater need to get people to wear masks, especially to protect frontline workers, whether they're at the front of a store asking you to put on your mask or whether they're responding to 911 calls to save those in distress. An aggravated battery charge contemplated by this legislation is a felony, and it can result in up to 5 years in prison or up to 10 years, depending on things like the criminal history of the perp, and fines up to $25,000. How about that? Good. Be nice if we... You reckon the California Assembly could follow with something like that? I mean, they probably got more Republicans in the legislature in Illinois than they do in California, right? I mean, you can at least take the maggots and the mask holes and the COVIDiots. Maybe you can't make them wear one, but by God, you can put them away where they can't hurt anybody except the other inmates when they get nasty about it. And of course, I wouldn't mention that story if it weren't for the fact that, yes, of course, we have an example from Tucson, Arizona. Don't reckon the Arizona legislature is going to get on this one anytime soon, but a man and his son are in a grocery store in Tucson when daddy starts raising hell at somebody merely wearing a mask. It really.
People won't learn. These people won't learn. You're a bunch of idiots wearing masks. You know it's not real. Look at you fools. You got a fucking doily on your face, you retard. You look like you fucking got it off your mom's countertop.
You feel better now?
You look like an idiot. You're a child. Trying to make me wear a mask.
Shut up.
You're a dork. Look at you, you giant fucking dork. What are you going to do? Good boy. Come outside and show me how tough you are. Fucking little. I'll beat that fucking mask off your face like a fucking retard. Fucking pussies. You're a bunch of pussies wearing masks. Woo. Loser.
Goodbye.
That's his own son picking him up and carrying him out of the store as he screams. But the best part, if you go and find this on social media, the best part of this is at the 36-second mark when he lets go of a fart, having been picked up and carried out of the store by his son. Now, he didn't get to the point where he actually touched somebody, but, well, for instance, Illinois law recognizes the distinction between assault and battery. Assault is putting someone in fear, whereas battery is the actual unconsented to touching. Irwin, by the way, out Montana way, says, Kamala and Joe are left of Marx, especially Harpo and Groucho. Well, how do you not get a cowbell for that one, Irwin? I mean, honestly. And yes, Steve, I agree. A cowbell for the Illinois legislature and Governor Pritzker. They're taking away my freedom to aggravated battery people for being sheeple who wear doilies and diaper face diapers. Freedom glurp MAGA. Hey, thank you very kindly to Yuki. Yuki, thanks a ton for finishing off Labor Man's Challenge. Thank you, Yuki, so very much. So what does that mean? What have we done to the... That takes a big hunk out of the fundraising goal. So $390. $350. $150. That leaves us at $150. Just today, $150. Yesterday is taken care of. And there's only $150 to go today. Thank you, Yuki. Thank you a ton. There will be a bill paid tonight. Yay! And so that's Tucson, Arizona. On the other hand, let's check in all the way back across the country with illegitimate white supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who only became governor through the with the assistance of real live actual no kidding Nazis. And again, having mentioned the Big Ten canceling the football season, the autumn at least as it is, earlier today. Well, old Monkey Up wants some football players to come to Florida.
I asked President Thrasher and Coach about, hey, if some of these other conferences shut down, can we welcome their players to the state of Florida? Not exactly sure how the NCAA rules work on that, but I can tell you, if there's a way, you know, we want you guys to be able to play as well.
Okay, take your victories where you can find them. At least he did not refer to it as the NAACP, because that's the standard reference over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and an illegitimate Florida governor who's white supremacist adjacent could reasonably be expected to make that same mistake. He wants players who can't play in their respective divisions to come to Florida and what? Get the Rona? get the Rona, spread the Rona. Because I don't think you can do the whole NBA bubble thing with athletes who are not professional athletes. Because remember, these are amateur athletes, and we can't pay them or anything. Right? I mean, damn sure can't form a union. I do not cease to be amazed. By the cavalier disinterest that this sick freak, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, has for the well-being of the people of his own state. Yeah, come on down and bring the Rona with you. If you ain't got no Rona there, we got some Rona for you here. And all of this comes as he... As Florida, according to the Tampa Bay Times, announced a new record today for the most coronavirus deaths in a day, with 277 deaths in Florida. That means that white supremacist adjacent illegitimate Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who only became governor of Florida through the assistance of real live no kidding Nazis, he has presided over 8,685 unnecessary deaths, according to the Florida Department of Health, which is probably to a certain extent compromised. That drove the daily death average in Florida to 166 people dead per day. The previous all-time high was July the 31st at 257, but today it was upped by 20 to 277. Today, Florida added 5,831 new COVID-19 infections. The total for Florida alone, a state half the population of California, and yet number two and climbing in coronavirus infections, is 542,792. In the Tampa Bay area alone, 797 new coronavirus cases, 44 dead on Tuesday. Hospitalizations jumped by 573 admissions. On the other hand, however, because those are just raw numbers, what Ron Monkey Up DeClantis was focused on today was skoo. Got to get the little cheering back in skoo. So where does he show up? He shows up for a roundtable meeting, which isn't nearly as awesome as our roundtable meetings on Friday. He shows up for a roundtable meeting at a charter school in Riverview, Florida. And he offered that bizarre sort of devil-may-care approach to the disease for which oh so many maggot governors are becoming infamous. Nothing's risk-free in life. There's nothing we can do that's going to be zero. But the risks are, what I would say, low for the students. The risk of the schools being real drivers of the epidemic, certainly that's not been validated in the observed experience up to this point. Guess he didn't hear about Paulding County or Cherokee County, Georgia, did he? So in that sense, you take that and then you have to look, what are the costs of not offering in person, and then make that judgment. How about that? Risk of schools being real drivers of the epidemic's not been validated in the observed experience. You know, it's interesting. That's kind of an Orwellian phrase, in the observed experience. Because that frees him up, because if he hasn't observed the fact that after one day of school in Cherokee County's second grade, the second grade had to be quarantined, or after 2 days of school in at North Paulding High School in Georgia, six students and nine employees of the school had the Rona and classes had to be shut down. Well, that's not his observed experience. No, that's just neutral scientific health data. Something in which Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is absolutely disinterested in knowing or even pondering or considering. Once again, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is a bioterrorist and should be treated as such. Because you can apply the thought experiment. If somebody from a foreign land was spreading this disease, allowing it to spread unhindered like Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is, we'd probably be at war. Look at Nitwit Nero. There he was today in his shit show.
Talking about the China virus.
When in fact, it's not the China virus. The virus that came to the United States from Europe had mutated dramatically. And of course, because he's a white supremacist and because he's a racist, he completely ignores the fact that China got burned up with this bug. But because he won't acknowledge reality, it means nobody else has to acknowledge reality either. So when he says,
it's the China virus,
that means that the Chinese government is free to say, no, we've discovered that the United States military deliberately deployed it inside China. Both are monumental, dare I say, titanic lies. This is a natural process of our failure to deal with the disease. And our failure to deal with coming disease processes. You know, it's not like this came out of the blue. Oh, hell no. Not even. This pandemic was predicted. I can't remember her name, but there is an author who wrote a book called The Coming Pandemic 3-4 years ago and laid it out point by point by point. And it's not because she's a member of QAnon or the deep state or Sticky Snot or whatever these dead for the neck up freaks are calling it these days. Every now and then I do have a little blast of carbonated beverage. Caffeine-free Coke in this case. Because I run out of water. I'm being checked by master of the art of word-knowing, Flavio. You mean uninterested. Disinterested means impartial. I think I meant disinterested, but maybe it didn't. Whatever. Okay. Oh, back to football for a moment because football. Brilliant Dabo Swinney down at Clemson. You know, that university founded on John C. Calhoun's old slavery plantation. Dabo Swinney says, canceling football will not stop the virus. No, but playing football will spread it. But, you know, Dabo's an evangelical Christian maggot, and he's got faith in his dear leader. And he's a little bit worried about his payday. But he's got a contract. Ooh, I bet they write a mean contract in South Carolina, don't you? And it's not just the Big Ten now. The heat's going to be on. With every conference that bails out, it means things are going to get even harder for the SEC. Lou lets us know, Steve mentioned it as well. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 have postponed their football seasons to 2021 because of the coronavirus. The move from two of the NCAA's marquee leagues could quickly reverberate throughout college sports. Well, let's see. Maggot State Conferences, the SEC and the Big 12. What else is there? This is Pac-12, Big 10, Big 12, SEC. The MAC has already bailed. Sun Belt Conference, I guess, is a possibility. Some maggot states in there, too. I wonder how Arizona government felt about the Pac-12 bailing. Look, anybody who knows this program knows I love my college football. I like it a lot more than the NFL. For me, I'm one of those people who believes that NFL stands for No Fun League. I just like college ball better. And I do so recognizing that it is rife with abuse. But it's hard to overcome a lifetime of, frankly, indoctrination. It might be coming from the South. It might as well be, and it is for many Southerners, right next door to religion. College football on Saturday, church on Sunday. But, you know, the UCLA fans get all worked up about the Bruins, and the USC fans get all worked up about the Trojans. Just like the folks from UM holler go blue, and Buckeye fans yearn for an after Saturday afternoon in the Big Horseshoe. And despite the problems that have plagued some Big Ten schools like Michigan State and Ohio State, profound sexual abuse horrors, there is still a modicum of attempted intellectual rigor in those schools, whether it be Minnesota or Wisconsin, Nebraska or Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Indiana, Northwestern, Illinois, Penn State. And so they take their they take their role seriously as significant institutions of higher learning. And they refuse to let schools be wagged by the tail of college athletics. That's going to be a significantly different discussion at places like the University of Georgia, University of North Carolina, University of Florida, University of Alabama, University of Tennessee, Louisiana State, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Auburn, Vandy, Arkansas, South Carolina, Florida. A different conversation entirely. But if a high school in Fayette County, West Virginia, couldn't enforce social distancing among about 500 people showing up for an outdoor graduation, I'm just trying to figure out how the faithful there in General Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, you know, well over 100,000 capacity, I'm trying to figure out how they're going to enforce social distancing and tell the volunteer faithful that only 1 in 6 people, thereabouts, or 1 in 10, get to attend a game. Anything? Yeah, I didn't think so. Had a note from Charles saying, probably not the best idea to slap labels on people who have been fucked over for so long. When you've seen the same movie all your life with these motherfuckers, it gets harder and harder to bend over and take one for the team. I'm not entirely sure what the context of that was, but I'm not trying to slap labels on anybody. Unless we're talking about maggots. Because they earned those. Mask holes, COVIDiots. That's all earned. I don't know, maybe Charles is upset about the idea of the Sparkle Fart propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade. But again, I use the term, and most of the time when people contact me saying, you know, well, I'm not one of those, then you show that you have the political maturity not to self-include inside that group of people who simply lack basic understanding of the politics of this nation and how the structures and processes work. And thanks again to Lou and Steve for pointing out that the Pac-12 has also bailed. Cognitive dissonance. Mike in Cascadia says, while essentially the rest of the world has said American travelers, you're not allowed, Ron Monkey up Duclantis is exclaiming, come on down. Yeah, pretty much. Because, see, he doesn't think it's real, Mike. And he thinks that even if it is real, he can monkey up the data enough that somehow or another the disaster that he has already been for the state of Florida will somehow diminish or disappear. I mean, after all, his god emperor says, one day it'll just miraculously disappear. When that just isn't what happens. Correction, says Stephen, New York, college football is better. I think college football and college basketball are better. Yeah, Billable Rick, subject line Kamala Harris. Bob, in my opinion, Joe Biden made a tremendous pick in choosing Senator Harris as his VP. She's intelligent, quick on her feet, and a skilled cross-examiner. She also always brings the receipts and knows her facts, much like Katie Porter. Trump is obviously still butthurt about how Harris eviscerated Brett I Like Beer into rape teenage girls Kavanaugh during his coronation hearing. It's so rich how Trump criticized Harris for being so mean to Joe Biden during the primaries, and yet Trump will have to explain why he donated to Harris's 2011 and 2013 campaigns. I can't wait for Harris to go on the attack against Trump and Pence. It'll be a delight to watch her tear apart those two phonies. I hope she does. I hope she's an absolute pit bull on the campaign trail. I hope Nitwit Nero and Mike Pence, by extension, learn that the last thing they want to do is even mention her name. Because she will make them cry. Matt in San Francisco says, I'm okay with Harris. I started my day today by telling my husband I hope today is the day Joe announces Kamala as his running mate. Lo and behold, I got my wish. Do I wish I had a more progressive ticket to vote for? Sure. But considering the alternative, I can gladly vote for the ticket with the person who was district attorney in San Francisco when Gavin Newsom proceeded with gay marriage in 2004. Ooh, facts. Long before many in the Democratic Party evolved. When you're in a hole, stop digging, Matt says. With a fascist in chief currently at the helm, I don't think I have the time to engage in a purity test for the current ticket. Precisely. Fight the fight, win the election, and then get about the business of being an activist. It's the way it works. I'm not telling you, Matt. I'm expanding on what you said. Because there's just not a hell of a lot of point to activism when there's a stone-cold killer and a white supremacist in the White House. Just fact. And so we will wrap up with a remark from Steve in New York, the Russian vaccine. And surprise, surprise, Jair Bolsonaro has agreed to manufacture the Russian vaccine and use his population as the stage 3 trials. How nice. We need memes out there now that just show a picture of huggable, snuggleable, cuddleable, lovable, Vladdy Daddy. And all the meme needs to say is, would you buy a vaccine from this man? I mean, think about all the massive Russian technological failures. Chernobyl? Anybody? Bueller? Or the stunning underwater commissioning ceremonies of any number of Russian nuclear submarines. Yeah, I'm guessing their vaccine's a little bit of Patinka vodka. You know, Pootie always likes to make a little money. Remember, a couple of years before Trump introduced Trump brand vodka, Pootie set the benchmark for it with Patinka brand vodka. It's probably a little bit of leftover Patinka vodka with a little bit of a glorious Mother Russian version of Lysol. And we'll just kind of hope for the best. Hey, look, yeah, it's a vaccine. Okay, we'll call it a vaccine. And you take it as a shot. And they just pour the shot of Patinka vodka in the shot glass and you floomp. But I got to think the Brazilians are going to, what the fuck? Where's my cachaca? This doesn't taste near as good as cachaca. But that's me. So, Malloy will be on his way in about 58 minutes on HeadOn.live. I'm going to try to re-upload yesterday's Podbean. I'll re-upload this evening's Podbean too. And of course, the program will also be available at WhiteRoseSociety.org under the Kincaid subheading. Thanks to all of you who helped to bring down the fundraising goal so much. Thank you so very kindly. That means tomorrow we're just looking at $350 instead of a terrifying $595. So thank you again. Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell for Brother Deacon Asa. Russian submarines really do have screen doors.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, there's a great question. We didn't get to that. Nitwit Nero says he's either going to give his acceptance speech from the White House, which would be illegal, or from a federal national monument, Gettysburg, which would also be illegal. Lou asking the trenchant question, if Trump gives a speech at Gettysburg, will he stand in front of a Confederate monument, a Confederate flag? Wouldn't put it past him.
And see, that's why we have to protect these magnificent monuments. These monuments of great generals like Robert E. Lee. You don't want Black Lives Matter coming to Gettysburg and tearing these down, do you?
Yeah. It's going to be a tough sell for the maggots. Because after all, there in July of 1863, well, there were two things happening in July of 1863. On the one hand, Lee's desperate push into Pennsylvania in an effort to force a negotiated settlement failed. And at the same time, the Confederate flag came down after the siege of Vicksburg in Mississippi. And those two things spelled the end for the Confederacy, but the traitors, the committers of treason, would continue to drag out a bloody and filthy and hateful, unnecessary war for almost two more years. History. It's a thing. Anyway, thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious, finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, stay home if you can. If you have to go out, maintain your social distance, wear your masks, wash your hands, take your mask off, wash your hands some more. There's some new data out on masking, by the way. Those neck gaiters that people like to wear, those are actually less useful than no mask at all. Washington Post had the story today. Maybe we'll go into it some tomorrow. But masks really work. They work in both directions. The masks that have an exhaust port on them, they don't work as well as the ones without the valves. Let's just put it that way. But they do work. And by all means, if you see some idiot farting in the grocery store and hollering about he's going to kick your ass and you're a pussy because you're wearing a doily from your mama's coffee table for a mask, avoid that man like the plague. Because he is. Later.